Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
Well, now, here we are. It's left my house in the west of London. And it's a dull Monday morning. Any other day, that would be a miserable day. But not today. Not that I don't like my work, in case they're listening. I like it very much. But today, I'm not going into work. Today is the day of Project X. Otherwise known as Episode 100. And I'm on my way to get a train. But to where? Well, I'm going two stops to Richmond Station. And that's as much as you shall know for now. Very exciting to be getting on a train at Barnes that is both on time and also not joining all the commuters. Not today, Satan. Well, I've got off one train at Richmond. Now I'm about to get onto another train. But where? Where am I going? I'm going west. I'll tell you that much. I'm heading west.
Anyway, what do you do?
I'm a hotel receptionist.
Really accurate. Okay, I've got someone on the phone as well.
Very good job.
Yes, going to work later on.
Well, I've got off the trains. And met up with my old mucker,
Jay Bay.
Jay Bay.
He was slightly panicked. But,
well, I actually met up with him about. I got off the train 45 minutes ago and we're still in Reading.
You like Reading, don't you?
I do really like Reading.
Can I apologise? It was all going very, very well. And then I thought, I'll go in the car park and I'll get out and I'll go and meet John. So I'll just back into this space.
Richie is very well.
Did me back windscreen, John, didn't I?
On a yellow pipe.
On a yellow pipe.
Some kind of
play off.
A massive protruding yellow pipe.
A massive yellow pipe.
Disaster.
A bit of a disaster, yes. But not, could have been a lot worse, John. No one died. No one had their eye poked out. None of that. Talky one Saturday. All those things. And then we had a trip to Hobbycraft, didn't we, John?
Hobbycraft to the rescue.
You were saying Tesco's for a bin bag. I was like, there's a Hobbycraft.
We can do it decoratively.
We can do a really nice job.
A bit of glitter. Some acrylic paint.
Yeah, that would have been nice. A unicorn. A paper mache unicorn.
But it's now completely covered up in gaffer tape.
We're off. Let's not say where, John.
We're off to the M4.
It's very planes, trains and automobiles so far.
And the window is holding so far. Let's see how it does at 70 miles.
It's been tested at 30, John.
Anyway, let's crack on. I'm quite one of those to pop.
Yes.
Well, here we go.
Okay. Right, John, we should probably Yes, it's holding. We're at 65 miles an hour on the motorway. It's holding, John.
It's a bit more of a dramatic.
We will put some pictures of this on our Instagram and on at NatObs Pod.
Yes, I've taken some pictures.
Now we should probably say what we're doing. We're trying to go and meet someone, aren't we, John?
We are. Do you want to say?
No, not
going to
say who. No, I'm going to say where we're going. We're on the M4. Yes, that's a good sign.
Heading.
Are we going east, John? We could be going to Boreham Wood. We could be going to Leighton, not Leighton, Dagenham and Redbridge.
Solihull Moors.
Could be going then up. Who knows where we're going? Who knows what we're going to do and where we're going to meet? For episode 100 of the National Obsession. Who knew we'd get to 100, John? My wife seems to think that the reason I smashed the back window, which was a massive accident, and in no way bad driving it wasn't, was because I was overexcited like a small schoolgirl, I think she said, off to visit David Essex in the 70s. I was pleased she chose David Essex
that
as a reference.
Probably, yeah, that was the
from
right
the
reference,
70s.
Isn't it?
Yes.
He's not
I don't think so.
Is he? No.
I think he's clear.
Straight down the line.
No, it's very exciting, John, isn't it? I think we're going to stop at a services, and I'm going to stop at Lee Delamere, get a cup of coffee.
Yes, that's my favourite.
Up for that?
Yeah, I'm up for that.
Unless something comes through the back windscreen now.
kills us
both.
Kills us
and that's episode 100. We found this Zoom recorder.
It's like the black box.
And this bag of ice. What does it mean?
100 and out. That's what it is. And the Beatles.
That's Tracks of My Years, which is someone out of Slade.
It's Death, Tracks of My Years.
Well, yeah, we stopped at Lee Delamere, John, didn't we? Got a little bit of chocolate and a coffee.
Very exciting. Big clue.
But we didn't go in the main services, John, did we? Just a pro's trick to go in the garage.
I was hoping to get a main services because I did like it.
Road dog that I am, John. Just what do you need the main services for?
It's
a waste of time, John.
I like it.
We're back with Alan Cook Removals
for your
peace of mind. This episode of the National Obsession is sponsored by Alan Cook Removals for your peace of mind.
No, we went to do some running repairs on the back window. Didn't need doing. We should get in touch with Hobbycraft.
Yes.
Sponsors.
If anybody does smash their back window in, hang on a minute, that sounded a lot ruder than I meant, then can I say, Hobbycraft for your clear tape and gaffer tape. £9. Jobs are good.
Did you think it seemed a little bit expensive for what we bought? I thought it did.
To be honest, at the time, I'd have paid £1 million. We need to get to wherever we're going, John.
Wherever we're going.
Getting up to the M4, M5 junction soon, John. Wonder which way we're going to go. North. Maybe we're going to visit one of the Gloucester City players.
Who knows? Maybe we're going to Wales. Yeah.
Maybe we're going to Wales, John. Maybe we're going to Newport County to see who?
Doing that.
Or
League 2.
League 2. Who? League where? Anyway, on we go, John. On we go. John, we're on the M5.
Does that narrow it down?
Who knows where we're going? We're not going to Bath City.
No, we've gone past Bath.
Bath City is not Bath City. It is not Chippenham.
Cribbs Causeway. Currently.
Chippenham Town.
Not Chippenham Town. Rule that out.
Rule that out.
We've gone past Wales. Not going Wales.
Is it Yeovil, John? No.
Could still be going to Portishead, home of Gary Johnson.
There we are. Yes, maybe we're picking Gary up, going
maybe
to his home.
Gary.
Hey, maybe we're going to his home, having lunch with Gary at home with his lovely wife. It's not what we're doing.
No.
Who knows where we're going? Now, John, we're on a very interesting bit of the journey to wherever we're going. Which is what do you call it?
It's the high-low bit.
I think everyone has their own name for it. It's good. Yeah. We call it in our family, Spooky Hill.
Why?
Because it's always a bit... weather's always different, isn't it, John?
It's going on.
Weather's always a bit different on Spooky Hill. There's always something happens on Spooky Hill. Like, it's sort of place that our rear windscreen would have smashed. It was going to smash anyway. Something always happens.
On the M5, where one bit goes high...
There's a farm behind
levels.
It. Look in there. Look, there's a farm. Farmhouse in there, John.
Oh, yeah.
You can see all over
Never
Bristol.
You're looking down on Portishead.
Let us know what you call this bit of the journey. I wonder where we're going. Summer is a coming in, loud a sing cuckoo. Low with seed and blow with mead and spring the wood. And is that the song from the Wicker Man?
I don't know.
Oh.
There's simply too many Wickers.
Oh, that's good.
Alan
Wicker. Alan Wicker. Have you got an Alan Wicker in your locker?
But that was
John?
It, wasn't it? There's simply too many Wickers. Wicker Island.
And that is quite the thing.
Driving down the M5. Yeah,
where are we going?
We have to go past the Wicker Man,
John,
and the massive Morrison.
Listen to the sound, John. You wouldn't even know that the back windscreen was out, would you? You've done such a good job on it. I'm so proud of us.
I think we could be in the commandos or something. That was
real
adapt,
blitz spirit,
adapt,
wasn't it?
Situation,
it's like we
improvise.
Were very, very good. It was like we were. Something was telling us not to go, but no, we're going. Bridgewater Services, John, coming up. Not
we
the best
on,
one.
We motor on.
We push through.
That, although I could do with a stop because I spilled chocolate. All time
you have spilled chocolate on you, John.
Melted chocolate.
Who knows where we're going, John? Just going past the Minehead turnoff, John. Look to your right. See that Argos there?
Yes.
The fact that my dad always told us about that Argos, I don't know how he found it out, but apparently it's true, has the largest mezzanine floor in Europe.
Fact of the day, brought to you by Hobbycraft.
And Alan Cook removals.
Alan Cook removals. The good news is, I've got the chocolate out of my jumper, didn't need to stop.
We go again.
Today it's just been a non-stop tale of adapting to the situation, improvising a solution.
This is what we have. We are
absolutely
very
fine.
Yes and. Climbing up on Telegraph Hill, climbing Telegraph Hill, John. My dad used to come here and pick up people on Christmas Day who'd broken down when he was I'm talking, how long ago am I talking, John? Probably 50 years ago.
Well, we just seen a sign for Torquay, 15 miles.
Oh, well, where's that? I've never been there.
Is that the clue?
Oh, great, Holden. It's great, Holden.
Ken Kemford.
So we've only got a few choices left of National League clubs now. Who knows where we're going? Who knows?
Here we come.
Spurs. I've got a shirt on.
And now we find ourselves in
by Farm Foods, John.
Farm Foods.
Just past the crematorium.
We've just seen hearse. Pulling out the crem.
I don't know if it was the hearse.
Well, given where we are,
could be, John.
It could well be because we are now in.
Approaching
Heal Village.
We're approaching.
What are we doing here? Getting out of it as quick as we can. I think
we are
the
approaching Torquay United, aren't we, John? Let's give it
the
away.
Back way.
It's the Natobs way.
Torquay United, Model Village, bygone to
Kent's
Cavern.
Which one of those? Are we going to meet the owner of Kent's Cavern?
Now, we're driving down.
Winding our way down.
A dead end.
To the beautiful.
We've driven off Babbacombe Cliffs.
We're driving down the beautiful Babbacombe Cliff. Is this the right way, John?
I don't know. I think we're going to someone's house, aren't we? Stop,
carry
turn
on.
Around.
Oh.
Oh, s***.
On the wrong way now. Stop. Carry on.
We've gone the wrong way. Anyway.
There we are. That's better.
There we go.
Right.
Okay.
And then we are
carry
going
on
to the Carey Arms Hotel. Beautiful, posh place, John. A nice, posh place to meet somebody very special.
Let's find out who.
Come on, John. Is that him?
Is that who we're here to meet?
That's him.
Here at the Carey Arms, Babbacombe.
It's Jamie Reid.
The National Obsession.
You grew up in Torquay. You went to South Dartmoor College, yeah?
I went to South Dartmoor College.
You grew up in Torquay.
I grew up on the Timothy Road by Cuthbert Main till I was about 10. I went to Priory School, which is just down the road. And then secondary school at St. Margaret's. But my first experience of Torquay was my granddad took me to watch a game. It's Torquay for Torquay now. I can't remember who it was against, but my first real memory of football for Torquay was Effiam Williams.
Yes, the hat trick.
The hat trick. Oh, was it
his debut? Yeah, it was his debut, and then he didn't do a lot after that.
Well, that's it. That just sticks in my mind. I don't know why.
He was my favourite player. I was so angry.
What year was that, John?
2000.
I don't even know. 2000. That's probably right. I would have been about 6.
This is the sort of thing, if we were a proper podcast, Jamie, we should know.
Yeah.
Isn't it? We should really find out. Research, really done a lot of research on when Effiam Williams played.
Yeah.
So you will have seen that with your granddad, will you?
Yeah, so I saw that with my granddad, and then I was.
And how old will you have been? Will you have been then?
6. I'd have been 6.
And will you have been playing?
Oh, yeah, I would have been playing. My first football would have been for Willow Wanderers. I used to go and join in with my brother, my brother's team, who's a bit older than me, but I was just so eager to get going. And then my mum used to take me to soccer schools with Frank Prince.
Football looked after the community, didn't he?
And so I used to go to that all the time. Then I played for Torquay United when I was about seven, eight. Then they scrapped the whole youth system. So then I think I played for Chelston Juniors.
Yeah. So when you were playing for Torquay United sixes, sevens, were you selected for that, or was that just something you'd turn up to? Or
I think I was selected from the community, from the footballing community. My coaches were Leon Hapgood. Leon Hapgood. Robbie Herrera had something to do with it as well. He had long hair, because I always remember his long locks.
Well, he went away and came back, Robbie, didn't he? Yeah.
Exactly, because I had him again when, obviously, Kevin Nicholson signed me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was my first game in Torquay.
And then they shut it all down, and you had to go and play somewhere else.
Then I had to go and play somewhere else, yeah. At that age, you don't really think anything of it, really. But I did go to.
And you were with you. We went with your granddad. What did your mum and dad do? How did they end up in the bay?
So my mum, single mum.
Yeah.
So she brought up me and my brother. She had a hard time to be there, but
two boys.
Yeah, two boys. Absolute chaos. My dad, I don't know.
Right.
But so my mum is everything. Like, she's, without her, I wouldn't have ever played football. So she's been amazing to me.
She give you some drive? Is that your drive? Because to become a professional sports person.
Yeah. I suppose when you're younger, you don't think of it like that. The older I've got, the more I realise what it means to my family, obviously my mum. Some people do it for like different motives and stuff, but I really get a kick out of coming in from the game and getting like a well done from like my family or girlfriend or my mates. I love all that. So.
Yeah.
It's not until older, really. It flies by. It feels like last year I was making my debut in the football league.
Yeah.
And it's just where.
And that was against Oxford?
No.
That was against Oxford for Exeter City?
I came on for Oxford.
Yeah.
Around Christmas time.
I've looked at your Wikipedia page, Jamie. I've done Oxford, some looking into it. Let's go back a little bit.
Yeah,
what were you like at school?
Oh.
Were you best in your year at school? Because sometimes people go, oh, there was a player much better than me at school.
I had quite a good school. I think Jamie Richards went as a professional to. I think he signed for Torquay.
Is he
a
Truro?
He's a Truro. We had Jared, who's now with me at Torquay.
Yeah.
We had a good school year, to be fair. Obviously, you kind of know that you've got a little bit in those years because of the difference in school level. So you kind of know, I could have a chance here. Then your aim was youth team, getting a YTS scheme. And at school, I remember when school realised that they could then bribe me through Exeter was when I started to maybe be a little bit better behaved.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I stepped out of line, we'll call Exeter.
Oh, really? So, right.
Yeah, so it was one of them. They started getting involved. But no.
And were you noticeably better than people around you?
I'm not sure. I guess so. I guess you kind of do know. I was speaking to my mum about this, actually, because it's mad how many kids went to the football tournaments at Cannon Valley. They used to hold them in Paignton. And you're talking about 400 or 500 kids all in one area. And you think, who's still playing now? And like around here, and I'm thinking, like, I could be like the only one who's playing professionally on my level at this 500 kids. So you've got all the parents there that are saying to their kids, are you going to make it? The chances are so.
The people who slipped through the net as well, like Kiefer Moore slipped through the net, didn't he? Because he got let go by.
That's the thing. You don't know when you're going to develop, when you're going to know, because you've got to know your game, you've got to know what you're good at. Managers can be telling you different things. Might be to you like 24, 25 where you actually start going. For some, the penny drops at 18. But yeah, that. When we were talking about that, it's just mad to think that the stats is so slim of actually making, and then it goes even slimmer going past 24, 25 of staying in the game, because that's what you've got to try and do.
Yeah.
So obviously you've got to got to get the best out of your career, you've got to make a living, because it could be a waste of time if you get to... That's what I don't think about all the, going off topic, you know?
It is all topic, I promise you.
With the under-23s scheme, it's like, you could be a top, top club to your under-23, and then you've not got one men's game under your belt. So who's going to take you, really? Like,
so you go to Exeter City and you make your debut for them and you play for them, and then there seems to be like not a stall, but like I don't know, how would you describe it, Jamie? What do you think happened? You go to Truro and to Dorchester Town.
Yeah. So
and is that for you to go and get games or?
So my first, when I signed pro at Exeter, I first went to Dorchester Town. That's what they did with everyone. They sent you out on loan, get a few men's games. Come back, see where you are. So I did that. I did well at Dorchester. Apart from there was one, we made the FA Cup first round proper, and I'd scored about six during the time there.
Yeah.
And some Spanish guy came over. He's an exchange student. I think it was called John. I always remember his name, Johnny Garcia.
It sounds like he's made it up.
I don't hate him. I have no bad animosity towards him. However, we got to the first round proper against Plymouth Argyle, and and it was on ESPN. And the manager dropped me for that game, and I never didn't come on. But on the other hand, Gozzi scored the goal that
knocked Plymouth out.
Gozzi scored. You know Jake Gozzi.
When you drop down, when you go from a league club, and you do you feel like you're dropping down? Or are you told you're going out to get minutes?
You're told you're going out to get minutes. Basically, you're saying that you're not ready for the first team yet, so you need some.
And what is that? Strength, ability, strength, skill level.
Strength. Playing for 3 points on a Saturday is massive. It's totally different between youth team. I mean, sometimes you won't play as much football as you do in the youth team. I've been lucky at Torquay, to be fair.
You're just good, Jamie. You're just good.
I go back to Exeter. I'm in around the squad, on the bench. I mean, that's massive for me. I'm like buzzing on with like some good players. And then I make my debut against Oxford. We were losing 4-0 at the time. And then I went back to being on the bench.
Yeah.
Or spare man is what. Do you know that there's always a 19th man?
On the coach, is there something like that?
Yeah, there's always a 19th man that will. Like, I was the king at Exeter for that. Yeah. Honestly, there was bonuses for the 19th man.
What, like you'd be Gilbert the Girl or.
Yeah. I'd be the person with blue tack putting up the tactics on the wall. That's what I did.
Oh, no.
That isn't why you scored number 19.
That's not. Isn't that more demoralising than not being on the coach?
Towards the later end at Exeter, it really was. But then I was 18 and I was just excited to be there. I had to make, because I was youngest, it's changed now, but because I was the youngest, I was the one that always had to do the coffees. So I'd know everyone's coffees and teas. I wouldn't even have to ask what sugar they have.
How old are you at this point?
I'm 18.
Here. Yeah, yeah. Right.
And it was towards the end of the season. I think there was 4 games left, and it got to the point where I was leaving my shin pads on the coach, getting off, because I knew I weren't good at playing. I was just coming along. He never really spoke to me.
Who's the manager then?
Tisdale.
Okay, right.
And we stayed at,
because he had the hat on.
Well, he's always dressed about it. So we had Wimbledon away, and we stayed in Richmond. I always liked going to Wimbledon because we stayed in Richmond.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
Nice, yeah.
Going around the park and stuff. Obviously, I was young. But, and I went in, I was just doing all the warm-up stuff, and he put the team that we trained on the way up there, and I had no clue what the team could be. All I know is I wasn't going to be in it. And he read the team out, and I was in, and my heart dropped so... I was so nervous.
You were in the first team, or in the... Yeah, I mean, you were in the lineup.
I was in the starting lineup.
In the starting lineup, yeah.
That was my first ever start. I didn't have a clue.
And he hadn't given you a hint of that?
He hadn't given me a hint of it.
Who's in the team, then? I'm trying to think of that. I can't think of that extra team.
Jamie Curran.
Still playing?
Still really good. Who else played for Exeter?
Yeah, doesn't matter. Who cares? Yeah. I care. Obviously, because I asked the question, Jamie, but no. Jamie Currien will do.
Yeah, Jamie
Steve Currien. Flack? No.
No.
No, 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 no.
You are. No.
No.
So then.
Darren Rowbottom? I'm just naming general Devon legends. Devon Tommy legends. Tynan.
See, I don't know any of these.
No, you're a young man,
all
Jamie.
I know is David Graham,
Martin Griffin. Yeah. Oh, David Graham, yeah. Anyway, yeah, carry on. Yeah.
Anyway, so I start playing, and I remember I'm getting a bit stick off the Wimbledon fans.
Yeah.
And I remember I got my first ever goal, got the ball, step over, cut in, shot, and the keeper's just parried it in the goal. Like, it shouldn't have been a goal. And I'm just over to the fan. Now, I can see him standing up, giving me stick before. I just go, and I scored again, so that was my first taste of. Scored two on my debut, and then I had a third, but they gave it offside for Cure on the hat trick, and I had my top half off.
VAR.
I had my top half off. So yeah, that was my first ever football league game in a men's game, really, in professional. Obviously Dorchester, but. Correct,
so you come off for that, and what does Paul Tidstone, what does the team say to you then? Are they, is it a factor then of managing you, or is it a fact of giving you that confidence? And
you're high on confidence then anyway. And then I think I played the next two games after that, and then that was the end of the season. But
right,
from that game, then that's when I got called up to Northern Ireland in the 21s, and I went. So anyway, yeah. So that season didn't end great. I think we finished a point off playoffs.
Right.
So if that goal had counted, we would have been in the
playoffs. Wow, okay, right.
That was tight. And then got called up for Northern Ireland. That was
that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it's Northern Ireland, but it's still like
that's international football,
yeah.
Jeremy. You know.
How do you qualify for
my granny is Irish. And so I went out to the training camp.
Just say that. Keep that story.
Yeah.
Keep that story. We know Tony Cascarino. Just
So I got called up to the training camp, and then through that, I then got called up to the 21s. Obviously, that was quite big for me because I was only 18.
Yeah.
So the rest of them were quite older.
And playing at a similar level to you in the league?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, there was like, they were all playing for like a good team, like Rangers.
Yeah.
I think there was a couple from, one was from Liverpool.
Yeah.
And then you just see Exeter City. So it's a bit, and you've got some of the local Irish people that play for like Linfield.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
First ever game was Cyprus, we lost 4-0. Wow, not good. So yeah, so I went for.
So then you do that, and then you go back to Exeter, and it doesn't quite happen.
No, I went to the Milk Cup with Northern Ireland again. And then I got called up to the Belgian game. That was good. That was in front of like 15,000 fans.
Fantastic.
They're 21s. They're front three again. Torgan Hazard plays for Dortmund.
Yeah.
Batshuayi.
No.
And Yannick Carrasco plays for Atletico Madrid. They're front three.
Players.
Yes.
And do you see a marked difference? Do you notice a...
Yeah, you see a massive difference. The sharpness and quickness around the box is frightening.
Yeah.
Frightening. But we only lost 1-0, we had 10 men, so it wasn't too bad.
What's the difference between someone who, like that at that age, mm-hmm. like Batshuayi, say,
yeah.
who ends up playing for Chelsea and mm-hmm. first team and you know,
yeah.
world star?
Yeah.
What extra do they, just genetically mm-hmm. different or just quicker or
yeah,
better twitch muscles or
yeah,
calmer think, under pressure? What do you think is the difference?
I think it's their decision making. And I think it's their decision making definitely. So say if we're doing passing, I think they're 9, 10 out of 10 every time.
Yeah.
As whereas someone like me, I'm probably lower than that, which is why I'm not playing as high as someone else. But then I think that when I watch these strikers and stuff, I don't think they do stuff that I couldn't do. I just think that they can do it under pressure, like you say, big games, like. Not saying I can't do that, but I'm saying that's the difference, maybe. And like I said before, maybe the pennies drop for them way earlier than they know their game.
Experience earlier, and they've got it more naturally, I suppose.
Yeah, more naturally.
But it can be learned, you think.
You don't have to nurture someone, you don't want.
They say great players, they get more time. they have more time. Professional sportsmen, they have more time. They just see it. They just see it quicker.
Yeah.
Like a great rugby player, or we'll see it opening up in front of them, or
yeah.
a golfer will see the shot. When you're playing, mm-hmm. is it slow motion? What do you feel like in a game situation?
In a game situation, I'm quite calm.
Yeah.
Well, I've learned to be calm anyway. When I was younger, I was a little bit more erratic. Or now I feel like I'm quite calm. I'm not nervous at all. I've started to, like you're saying about the difference, I think that they can see 2-3 passes ahead, which makes their movement better and quicker than mine.
Right.
So he would get in that position to score a goal maybe a second, 2 seconds earlier than it would click in my head.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? But for me, like playing a game, it's fine, really.
You always do seem, especially since Gary Johnson's, yeah. but since you've been played in the right position, yeah. basically, just from yeah. a Torquay point of view,
yeah.
you seem really calm under pressure. Like Woking away last year, John and I both that game, huge game yeah. in the club's history.
Yeah.
Massive yeah, pressure.
Don't even think about it.
No.
You don't think about how big that is. You don't really think about it, if I'm honest.
So you just go out and you play what's in front of you?
Yeah, obviously, I read the game. I try and read the game. I try yeah. and get in the position where I think, oh, this could be a goal here. Like on Saturday, for instance, when the ball got played down the line to Witts, I knew, all right, I'm going to run and get a tap in.
Yeah.
And I got the tap in. I'm in a habit where I pull off and try and get the cutback.
The space.
But I've been working on, because I see so many strikers score easy goals. Yeah. And they're getting like 15 a season yeah. from it. So I just need to learn to run towards the goal, really, I think. But yeah, and I don't get too down if I miss a chance. I miss some sitters over the years. But in my mind, I doesn't even play on it. It's just gone. Next one, I'll score. So yeah, so I got called back from the Milk Cup early
yeah.
to be on the bench. And I had a problem with my groin. I don't know what it was, and everyone was telling me I was just tight, just using foam roller. Anyway. To fast forward that, I was out for about 16 months.
Really?
Yeah, that was tough. That was so tough. Going from scoring.
From playing league, and, yeah, scoring, yeah.
And getting called up for Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And then, but it was so annoying because no one knew what was wrong with me. So I was getting told to go and play and I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I was going out and training, I had to come in. Like, no one understands how hard that is for you as a young lad, mentally, it's tough. Like, I was in that physio room day in, day out.
From a mental point of view, if you've spent your life expending your energy and making your head calm itself down
yeah.
by running around and playing football,
yeah.
then all of a sudden you can't.
Yeah, you can't. To be fair, the manager, Exeter, was really good to me. He was giving me a contract after contract, even though I was injured. So that made me feel good because he obviously saw something, but at the same time, I just wanted my injury to go, and I ended up doing research on it myself. I had to speak to ex-pros.
Really?
Yeah, I had, what was it, Sean Goss, who was at Man United. I got in touch with the physios there, which led me on a path to this guy in Leicester, and I ended up, I think I was out from the August, September time to, like, and then it went to the next August, and I didn't make an appearance until, like, the February. So it was, like, a whole year, then the next.
A season and a half, basically. Yeah,
a season
yeah.
and a half, and, like, to get that back.
And to get your fitness back.
Yeah, I had to do like shadow play for like 2 weeks where I was just mimicking the training session but without football. It was crazy. So I did that. I had to have an operation. That was.
But I suppose you think, what's the alternative, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah.
You stop playing, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, and they were. I got a quote for career ending insurance.
Did you?
Yeah, that was hard. Because they just didn't know if I was gonna get through it or
yeah.
if it was in my head, like I was getting them shouts, and that's the worst. I hate that because it's not. I'm hurt. You know,
yeah.
I'm just gonna say I'm not hurt. But yeah, that was tough. That was just a tough period for me, going from such highs to such
yeah.
lows for a long period of time. And then, but what it did do is it made me mentally strong. I'm quite
yeah
quite mentally strong. And obviously I've been through. It's not been all roses at Torquay. I've been through some horrible times. But
well, John was saying on the way down, weren't you, John, when you were being played out
yeah.
of position, basically.
Yeah.
You, and you you know, the yeah. crowd got on your back and you went back at them, you know.
Yeah, it's what it is. Like, they pay their money. When I think about it, yeah, they're going on an away trip. I'm still in bed in the hotel.
Yeah.
So they go all that way. They want to see a performance. And if they're not getting that from certain players, they're going to vent their frustration, which is totally fine. Some I would say that I was the sheep goat.
The scapegoat, yeah, yeah. You were the sheep goat.
We're the sheep goat.
What, you can say that.
Definitely. The scapegoat, a little yeah. bit. But I just had to take it. Now I'm going to change your life.
We were always surprised at it. We were talking about it on the way down, and we were saying, surprised at it with you, because I think the great thing about you, Jamie, is you are us on the pitch.
Yeah.
You are Devonshire. Devon, it's a funny place to come from. It's an odd place to grow up. When you go around, the rest of the country, yeah. as you've done, and yeah. as I've done, and as John's done, people don't know what it is. They don't know where it is.
No.
But for you to be a professional sportsman from Devon, to have reached that level, to reach those heights, I'm only like proud of you and like amazed that you've achieved those that level.
Thank you very much.
And it's shown. I think what it is with the crowd is you are one of our own.
Yeah.
Like Harry Kane and Tottenham, you know, it's that thing of what does Devon mean? I mean, do you stay in Devon on purpose because it's home? Is it because it's where you've created your career?
It's just always the way it's panned. It's happened. I've not looked to get away at any time. Never had the opportunity.
Yeah.
It's not come up. I think it's from that first loan that I came to Torquay, and then I had the second one with Kevin Nicholson.
Yeah.
I just kept coming back and back, and I wasn't ever going to get a look in at Exeter. But Devon to me, it's just home. I was walking up here, then I just like look at the sea. It's like amazing. Like some people, like the Viking.
Yeah,
he doesn't see
surprisingly tall.
Yeah,
I bumped into him the other day on Timber Seafront, and I was he didn't know it was me. I didn't say anything. Our kids started talking to each other, I was like, "Oh, you're tall." Yeah. I didn't realise he was so tall. But sorry. What does Asa think of Devon?
Well, yeah, because he's from Birmingham.
All right, okay, so landlocked.
Yeah, so he's not seen a beach. He's never been by a beach. I can't get that in my head. How can you not be by? He said to me he's been years without going to the beach. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How can you not see the sea for years? Because this is where we live. It's just beautiful.
Did you take it quite personally when the fans got on your back? Obviously, I think it was kind of a frustrating time at the club for everyone, wasn't it? But you must have taken that quite.
Yeah, it's tough, especially when your family are in the stands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't think many people think about that.
No.
That when they're shouting these.
Kevin Hill's mum used to stand behind me on the pop side. Come on, Kevin! constantly. He's been beautiful, yeah.
It's probably my mum.
Does she come? Does she go every game?
She does go to my brother goes to games, and it's hard for them to keep their mouth quiet because obviously that's their brother, their son, or whatever. But that's tough when your family are watching, or if you get tickets for your friends and they're coming and you just see. They see you getting absolutely slaughtered.
Yeah.
I remember one time, I think it was Bromley, came off, and it was 1-0, I think we were losing, and it was the first time I got subbed in a long time, and the cheer from the fans was so embarrassing, but I just was running, head down, I looked up, I saw Gozzy just looking at me, laughing. Oh, I'm going to get bells for this in the WhatsApp group, But no, it was tough. Like I said, some of the stuff that I've been through in football has made me mentally tough, which has made me just bounce off me, really.
That must make it sweeter, the fact that it's kind of turned round.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have felt quite so good if you hadn't had those lows before.
No, I know, but even then, like, we weren't great. So, let's not be down the bush, we weren't great. And I was playing out wide, and we were always locked in. Teams are tackling us wherever we went, and when you got the ball out wide, you were about 80 yards from the goal. I'm not too sure many wingers. I'm not even a winger, so I don't know what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
You're always so far away from the goal, and I think if I'm paying to watch someone play, I want to see my winger light up the stadium. Like, I step over, it's like, well, and I was never going to be that sort of player. Really,
you're direct, aren't you? You're direct. That's your game.
And all this, so I set myself up for disaster. But there was, I used to go in and say, "Look, can I, can I go up front?
Yeah.
Because obviously I was on loan, and I'm a striker, so the Exeter seems as a striker, and I want to go back there.
As a striker,
that's not going to happen if I'm out on the wing, just filling in the numbers or doing a job. But the manager at that time said that my work rate, he needed me out on the wing, because he was always defending,
yeah.
And I thought I could get up and down. So really, I just thought, because I'd been injured for so long, that I just needed games. So I didn't say anything.
No, yeah, yeah.
I was happy to play.
You just want to play.
Wanted to play. But it got to the point where I was like, nah, come on, I've got to play up front now. It wasn't really until the new gaffer came in. Really.
And then that was, I mean, that for the whole club, the whole of Torquay, I mean, we're talking about Torquay United now,
yeah.
For a change.
Yeah, Torquay United.
But the whole club, that seemed to be a huge positive step. It seemed to bring a huge just bundle of positivity with him. We're all going to take a step forward together. And he seemed to get the right players around you, play you in the right place.
Yeah.
And he seems, we've met him a couple of times, and he just, you do walk away from meeting Gary feeling a better person about yourself.
Yeah.
And I think someone who obviously is confident like you are and mentally strong, to have someone like that pushing you again.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, he's still pushing me even now. He calls me in, says what, I think I went in the other day and he had a list of what I wasn't good at. So
yeah.
I had to work on that, and obviously at the top of that
short list, I reckon, Jamie.
No, actually, it's very long. He even said it wasn't supposed to be this long. The top of that list was heading. So he really wants me to start.
You scored one last season. That's
last
season or this season?
I can't remember seeing you score ahead.
Yeah, Dover away. I remember.
Actually, someone who played on the wing for Torquay, and you at the weekend you matched their goal scoring, which was Mark Loram, and he was a superb player for Torquay in the 80s, early 90s, from Brixham. So in many ways, I see you similar sort of background, and he was really brilliant, tricky winger, and he got signed for QPR, and I don't know what the story was. The story always was that he didn't like it. He didn't like London, and he came back and played for Torquay.
Did he?
That's
from QPR.
That's always the story,
QPR.
Yeah.
They were probably first division.
He was playing Division One. Story goes he didn't like it. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
You know, but so that's someone from Torbay.
Yeah,
you know that's who you matched at
did
the
I?
Weekend. You matched his Torquay United goal scoring record at
did
the
I?
Weekend. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I know. I seen that. I was. What was the last one? I matched David Graham.
Oh, right, okay.
I got to 50.
So you watched him as a kid, did you?
I watched him as a kid, yeah. Oh my God, he's amazing. Yeah,
yeah.
I remember his Champagne Predators. He was just...
I think I bought my Predators based off.
Champagne one with the red...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What boots do you... What are your? This is a good question. What were your favourite boots?
My favourite ever boots were the... I liked the old Vapors with the small tongue.
Oh, yeah, nice, yeah.
Thierry Henry used to wear the silver ones.
Oh, yeah.
Love them ones. Yeah, I probably say, although I did like the Predators, but I always think now that a boot is for a certain position. So,
okay.
Like, Kyle Cameron wears Vapors. I'm just like, yeah. If I see a certain back wearing Vapors, I'm thinking mistake.
I'm having you.
Yeah, I'm thinking you've got a mistake.
Are you chatty on the pitch? Do you chat to your opponent?
Not really, no, but I will chat to the team. And it's always a bit embarrassing watching the game back because you can hear it a lot.
In the National League South.
Yeah.
You could hear it. You could hear a lot of the players in the National League because there weren't many people there.
Yeah, I remember when we played Hungerford away, we had the police dog, and the dog just kept barking at the ball, and I thought, oh, my God, this is the football.
Torquay have got previous
history.
There.
Yeah, yeah. And that's when it all changed, when the dog was there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's when we went got away.
How did it feel going back to that season at that moment when we finally did it? Was it Eastbourne at
home? Eastbourne at home,
wasn't it?
Eastbourne at home, yeah.
We finally got it over the line.
Yeah.
I don't
think that was,
what did happen?
Oh, do you know what? Carl Cameron organised the night out. It was a shambles.
Oh, it's like a bad stag do.
It was a shambles. I don't know. Park Lane was in there at 9, dead. Yeah, but no, it was.
You were known as the Prince of Park Lane, Jamie. No, still, no.
Not
anymore. No. Where did? When did I? We went to Woke in a way. Ben Winter scoring that goal. Where were you for the goal? Were you on the line or something? Or?
I was on the edge.
On the edge.
I was on the edge of the box.
Should
yeah.
you not have been in that? If it was a script,
yeah.
you'd have hit that, Jamie.
Yeah, I know.
I quite like the fact it was Ben Winter having never scores.
He's just Mr. Consistent. He's great, I think, Wint. I think he's a brilliant player. Doesn't probably get the recognition he should. So
him and Lee, I think this season, especially without him and Liam, it's been pretty tough at the back there.
Yeah, it has been tough at the back. But now, it could have fell to anyone, really. It's whoever scored it. It's brilliant, though. It was Wint, but it was just mad. It was...
When you're up against, what I've found from watching Torquay in the National League South or in League One, wherever, I don't care I genuinely don't really care. I love it when they're winning.
Mm-hmm.
And to win that last season for me was as good as winning anything.
Yeah.
Because I've supported them 30 odd years. And for me, it's just to see you winning something, you watch the level you watch, and as long as you feel it in your heart and your soul, then it's great. As a player, do you think it feels the same winning something like the National League South as it would be?
Of course, I think you can only play where
you can only win, can't you?
You can only win whatever you're in. I didn't think, it's not good because we're in the Conference South. I don't care. I'll call all the lads champs from now on because we are. It doesn't matter what level it is. It's a great feeling lifting a trophy. Although the photos of Ace lifting the trophy, I'm not in it. I'm not in it. I'm behind the Viking trying to open the bottle of champagne.
You need to get yourself photoshopped in.
I'm not in it because I'm trying to open the court.
When on that last game, who was it? You lost, didn't you? You lost 1-0 to Dulwich. No, Hungerford was it? You beat Dulwich 7-2, didn't you? Hungerford. Yeah, I went to that game. And it was 1-0, like really scrappy goal.
Yeah.
Last 2 minutes when it was horrible. Yeah. Their keeper played a blinder, absolute blinder. Nightmare. Anyway, you lost the game, but they were still presenting the trophy.
Yeah.
You all came out to present the. This is a story more about the Torquay United fans and public than the team, right?
Okay.
I'm sat in Bristow's bench, surrounded by a load of old boys. Obviously been going their whole life, never seen us win anything.
Yeah.
You all come out, you lift the trophy. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like that. Champagne, great stuff. Yeah. Everyone's cheering, absolutely brilliant. You all start parading it around the ground. The old boy in front of me goes, "They're milking it now." And I think that sums up Devon, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's all like they don't want success. Yeah. It's like we don't want. Oh, don't know. Don't be too loud about it. He's milking it now.
Yeah. It's like no, not on that. You can milk it. I'm still milking it now.
You've given us so much pleasure, Jamie, and as I say, you are the. I think I was saying to John, for me, you could be Torquay United striker of any era. You were like, so you're such a face for me of Torquay, because you're local, because you're all about passion and pride and driving forward. Yeah.
I think some people don't get that from when I'm playing because my face is, like I've always said, it says I look miserable. I'm really not miserable, and people think that like I wouldn't be very talkative or whatever, but like, I'm weird. Like, I'm so the most talkative person ever. Like, the old board used to love me because they used to come to the away games and I would sit on their table and
Right.
them with questions.
Yeah,
because I just talk to anyone. So I think that like the certain fans or whoever don't get that.
Yeah,
because they don't see.
I love, I think that I didn't. You know, when we did that, this is why I think you're different as well. Is it? When you won the trophy, you did all that. You were milking it, and then you, which you were allowed.
Yeah.
You came off and you went up to the disabled area, and you shook all their hands, had a big chat with all them, and I thought you didn't have to do that. This is your day, you know. You've had a career leading up to that, and I thought that is a real mark of a really great person. You seem a good human, Jamie.
Yeah, which I don't think people would come across. I mean, I've got time for anyone, really.
It's
like you said about that, then they can't come over to the pitch or whatever, so that's why I did that. I was, you know, couldn't come any closer, so I went up there.
And what do you want to achieve? Just to play as high a higher level as you possibly can?
Yeah, just, obviously to play as high as you can. Football League is where every footballer wants to be.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can do something good this year. We're still in touch and distance.
Yeah.
Just need to go on that run, make up for the bad rep we had. It's basically just to play in the Football League. I mean, I haven't had any conversations with the gaffer yet.
I think you've probably done enough.
maybe he's not the type of player that he wants.
Because how old are you now?
25.
25, so you're getting to peak, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're peak now. How many games you got under you? How many games you played?
I think I would have gone over 200.
Yeah, so you know.
For Torquay though, I think I've played about maybe 100 and something. I'd like to get to 200.
Yeah.
I'd like to get to 200 games for Torquay, to be fair.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice.
We'd like that.
That'd be a nice. From taking photos with the team.
Yeah.
When I was.
You must look at someone like Jamie Vardy, and go, it's possible.
It's possible. Yeah.
It is possible.
You've just got to be really lucky. It can happen. Kiefer Moore.
Yeah.
So, but it's not something that I think about at the moment because I'm playing for Torquay and I enjoy it. Like,
yeah.
I got a message the other day saying it looks like I don't want to play for Torquay. I'm like, what? How does that?
Listen, but people are weird, Jamie.
Yeah,
people
you
are
can't
weird.
Reply to them.
You can't. Well, you know, there's the thing. You can't. Yeah. I do radio. John does radio. You constantly get, what are you doing? What is this? Yeah. People just, for some reason, people want to drag people, especially people who are succeeding and achieving.
Yeah,
it's a disease. I think it's a disease, and it's a social media disease. Anyway, you know.
I think social media is not. It can have a really negative effect. Yeah. I actually got rid of it during
the come off Twitter, didn't you? Which during that, a good thing.
Yeah, that's a time of the Reed hate gang. I had to come off it because I was getting constant messages like, "I'm calling me dog sauce."
Yeah.
The worst one was like, "You dirty, you are the worst player to put on a Torquay United shirt. You scum." Yes, I remember that.
But that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That says more about that person.
Yeah, exactly.
Than you. Because you are out there achieving people's dreams.
Yeah.
You know, you, whoever sent that, he's looked at you and he's through and through jealous. Because I could say it's definitely a man.
Yeah.
And he's through and through jealous. He sees you out there winning, achieving, you know, doing exactly what you want to do, you know.
But
so
some people like that, you will never do anything good enough for them to say anything good about you. That's just some people. They just have a dislike towards you. But when you're in the spotlight, I mean, it must be even harder for players at the top level. No, they don't have to deal with that.
Constant.
But, yeah, you've just got to be able to block it.
It's safe to say proof of all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
John, I think we're done.
What a pleasure.
Thanks so much for coming to meet us today. And it's a real thrill to meet you, but also to find out you are just a really, really nice bloke.
Thank you very much. Thanks, John. Thanks, Charlie. On the ice.
There we are. Didn't even ask him to say that. Just said it. Just knew it.
The National Obsession.
John, that was brilliant, wasn't it?
I'm a little bit starstruck, a little bit in love.
I'm 100% in love.
And my heart's all fluttery.
He's got lovely eyes, John. What a nice man. What a lovely young man, John.
Isn't he just really funny and nice?
Yeah,
and
what I liked was, he is calm on the pitch. That's what it is. He's calm. He keeps his calm. Wish we were a Torquay podcast, because that would be like brilliant. Let's walk on the beach.
The next time you're giving one of the players shit.
Yeah, maybe just have a look at your own life.
Maybe think, actually, to be fair, I will have a think as well.
Yes.
Because we all do it.
We all do it. I mean, it's part of the joy of it.
And you get really angry with certain players, but you never actually think that player heard that, or they noticed that, or that player's mum might be behind you, and they're going to think again.
Where you're on Babacan Beach.
Sorry, I'm really enjoying my chips.
Yeah, I know, they're good chips. Can highly recommend Drake's Chip Shop. And I recommend the Carey Arms. Thank you for the Carey Arms.
Oh, lovely Carey Arms. What a view as well.
There we are.
We're about to be...
Feel shaky, John. Feel shaky.
It's just the wind. It might look nice. It's effing freezing.
Effian freezing. Just that
out. Freezing.
Effian freezing. Remember him? He's called a hat trick.
Hey, John. When you go, will you send back a
John?
I have got some letters.
Oh.
Lovely impromptu rendition of the Proclaimers.
On the car stereo there.
Michael Ashley, Mike Ashley. Not sure if it's Sports one Direct. And the same. Sports Direct. Subject line, what the hell is going on?
What is the hell is going on at Solihull Moors, Michael, on the ice to you?
On the ice to you, Michael. He says, hi Charlie and John, I'm a Birmingham City fan but have a soft spot for Solihull Moors, my local non-league team.
On the ice, Michael.
On the ice, mate. I like to follow Solihull Moors through your podcast. You don't really get much information, do you? Apart from the occasional...
With a one-stop shop for Solihull Moors news.
Apart from the occasional what the hell is going on. I also listen to the Hawkshire and Jacobs Daily. I've enjoyed it this week as Charlie and Max are two of my favourite TalkSport presenters.
That's very nice of him, isn't it?
Very
Thank
nice.
You very much. On the ice.
And I couldn't
Double
help,
on the ice.
I couldn't help but hear Charlie dropping out what the hell is going on at Solihull Moors into the show. You
and
did,
it was ignored,
you?
Wasn't it, John? But
I heard
we,
it.
We, you,
yeah.
One for the completists.
He says, as it's the 100th edition of the newsletter this week, I was wondering if you could find out what is actually going on at Solihull Moors. Thanks and on the ice, Mike Ashley.
This is a great, what a great question, Mike. Thank you so much. Because what the hell is going on at Solihull Moors? It's one of the great unknowns.
It's one of the unknown unknowables, as I think Donald Rumsfeld would say.
What we've found out is that it's an absolute bun fight at Solihull Moors. No one knows what's going on. And will we ever? The answer is we can't find out. No, Mike.
It's not possible.
Do your own research. That's what the internet is for.
I don't even know who the manager is now. Oh, yes, I do.
Who is it?
It's Jimmy Chan.
Sounds racist, John.
There he is. It's Jimmy Chan. He used to be the West Brom...
Jimmy Chan?
He used to be the West Brom caretaker.
It used to be what we used to say at school when we didn't believe someone. Jimmy Chan. Better get some cream for it.
No, it is Jimmy
Can you
Chan.
Check that, John, please?
Or Jimmy Shan. Maybe it's Jimmy Shan. James Shan. Jimmy Shan.
Jimmy Shan.
Previously, West Brom first team coach, caretaker, Kidderminster interim manager, Solihull Moors.
There we are. I mean, is he, they won 3-0 Saturday.
They won
so
3-0. He must be doing an all right sort of job.
Doing a good job, Jimmy.
Snowbite. What do you think of Jimmy
There we
Shan?
Are. That's what the hell's going on at Solihull Moors. Jimmy Shan's in charge, and they've won 3-0. So, enjoy yourself on the ice.
Another email comes from Joe Holden.
Hello, Joe.
Tex Holden.
On the ice, you Tex.
John and Charlie, on the ice, on the line, and in the bay. In the bay. Lovely work, Joe. Just wanted to send a quick letter to say congratulations on reaching 100 episodes. It's like opening cards, this.
It's lovely, isn't it? Any money in it?
And a big thanks for all the entertainment, laughs, and of course the education, brackets, lol, along the way.
Oh. Giveth with one hand, taketh with the other.
He says, always look forward to the pod, so here's to the next 100. And also, very much looking forward to my free ice cream next time I'm in Devon.
A free 99.
You Charlie do, has you... offered to Foss in episode 99.
I did. If you do bump into me and there is a ice cream van nearby, I do owe you a 99. If you are a Foff and can prove it by saying one of the catchphrases, either on the ice or in the bay or on the line... Jamie Reid's saying on the ice now.
Jamie Reid, it's good enough for you.
Jamie Reid's on the ice in now. I wonder if he's going to say it if he scores Saturday, John.
And the other email says, not for broadcast. I'm going to read that after. But thank you, Matthew Porterfold, for your email anyway. But I won't read it because I don't know what it is.
Oh, why?
It says, this is a personal email not meant for broadcast.
To who?
Both of us. I'm going to read it.
Is he furious?
I don't think so.
Is that one of the three letters, John?
That was one of it. It's actually two.
But not for broadcast.
Not for broadcast.
This is a whole new area for the 100th episode. Sending us an email we're not allowed to broadcast or use. This is a shame.
It's a big shame. But, you know,
well,
there we go.
Well, sounds like the boot's coming open, doesn't it, John?
Louder,
it's fine, John. Don't worry about it. The windscreen's still in. The homemade Hobbycraft windscreen.
And it was absolutely
No, it survived the rain. We're not only offering podcasts now.
I don't know why you need a new windscreen.
We're off. It's not the windscreen. Can we just say that? It's the rear.
The rear window. Why do you need a new one?
I know. We've done a lovely job, John and I. A lot more proud of the rear window we've created than the 100 episodes of this podcast we've done.
I'm so proud that I've actually, for the first time in my life, achieved something.
Bear Grylls. Hello, Bear Grylls on the phone.
I've actually done something.
John,
useful.
Stop drinking your own urine.
Well, there we go.
Send us some letters. That'd be nice to hear from you all at NattlesPod. NationalObsession@gmail.com, John, isn't it?
That's the badger. Can we line up the Proclaimers to sing us out, or is that going to be too much of a technical?
Might crash. Let's find out.
We'll just add till we get to the
bit. Motion!
Seconds. There we go.
Oh, beautifully done.
Thank you very much. Hey,
when you go, will you send back a letter from a listener? Take a look at the mail sack. This one's not for broadcast.
Well, that's it, John. I'm going to drop you off now at your train to get back home. It's been a lightning fast trip.
We've been in the bay
and out of the
back
bay.
Out the bay.
A wonderful day beyond what we thought, wasn't it, John?
What a day.
A great day. Even survived the window smashing.
And we also forgot to do a little bit of admin whilst we were with
this is reading. Classic Natobs pod
behaviour. It
couldn't
be
John.
More Natobs pod. And what better way to finish off episode 100 by forgetting to crown Jamie Reid an honorary foff while we were there.
He's the first golden foff.
Golden foff.
Kudjins. We'll send you something. We'll send Jamie something.
Well, I'm sure Reedy's listening to this.
Sure he is. We'll send him. I don't know, is he getting a crown or something?
Or... it's like, get a DAB digital radio in the post. We'll send that out to you. All the very best.
Something. There we are.
No.
Thank you very much for listening to 100-odd episodes. 100 episodes, not 100-odd. 100, well, they are quite
and,
odd.
Yeah, they are quite
episodes.
Odd. And we return with Ep 101, Room 101.
Room 101.
Live from Sutton.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do, isn't it? Yeah. Thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate it. In the bay, on the ice.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.